Okay, well, it's good to be here. I'm Phil Slabaugh from Colorado. I don't know a lot of you people. One of the youth knows me good enough that he kind of moaned yesterday when he heard I'm preaching this morning because he said these chairs aren't real comfortable, and he's like, oh, please. So I want to have mercy this morning. I know how those chairs are. And may God have his way. I want to just thank John and Lynette Glick, too, and their family for being here. We don't see them much. I don't know why. But they are very special to our family, and we just praise God for them, their life, the testimony of Christ in them has been a real inspiration for us. So thank you, brother, sister, and your whole family, Andrew. Okay, I want to turn to Acts chapter 3. Appreciated to what you shared, John. I want to try to get through this quickly here. This is something that usually the first week in January or so, we have a time of fasting and prayer, seeking the Lord as a church. And through that, maybe even after that, I just felt like God laid some things on my heart. Jim and Dotsie, it is good to see you. Thank God for raising you up, brother. Both of you. Praise God. Just all of a sudden seeing them, I just had to say something. Acts chapter 3, let's start in verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So if you want refreshing in your life, there's a time coming that for those that have repented. Appreciated the thought that Brother John left us of having a conscience void of offense. Because God has, in the heart of God, God wants to do, I believe, some amazing things yet in his people in these last days. And we can focus on all the things that are going on politically and all of that, but we need to look away from that. The political aspect, there's no answer in that anyhow. And we need to look to God, because I believe God has a great plan and a purpose for his people in the last days. And because of that, I'm excited about the church. I'm excited about what I believe the heart of God is for his people in the last days. And I won't get into a lot of that, but I want to look at one aspect. Verse 20, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive. So he's talking about Christ is coming back again, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which that speaks of something being restored, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. So I guess when I read that first part of the year, just I felt like God really ministered to my heart that before Jesus Christ comes back, there's going to be a restitution that he makes of all things. And I believe one of the greatest things on the heart of God is his people, is the church, is the bride of Jesus Christ. And I just believe that it says here, in the times of restitution, restoration, not maybe the complete restoration, but the times. There's going to be a time, and I believe we're in that time. I believe we're coming into that time when God is going to move and is moving in a mighty way and is going to move in the hearts of his people. And I believe that the church of Jesus Christ is going to be restored, maybe to a further glory than she was when she was first, when the church first came to existence there in the early church after the day of Pentecost and so on. I don't know if you believe that. If we just look at all the problems sometimes in churches and all the relationship struggles and all of the things that go into church life, sometimes I think we wonder, are we just going to kind of limp across the finish line? And like in the analogy of Arlen running, just somebody maybe just drag us across. We just can't make, we're just out of gas. I don't believe that's the church that Jesus Christ is coming back for. I believe he's going to come back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And I felt there was different things that God laid on my heart as I felt like he's saying, look for me to begin to restore the church before the coming of Jesus Christ. So I don't, I know we don't know when Jesus Christ is coming back, but if I look at the church from my eyes, it looks to me like they're still alive. If I look at my life, if I look at who we are as a people, I feel like there's probably, Jesus might not come back quite yet because there's still some work to be done. There's some things he still wants to accomplish. And so I just kind of wanted to start with that. I believe one thing he's going to restore is the true place of prayer in the church. It says in the scriptures, my house will be a house of prayer, not a house of preaching, not a house of singing, not a house of worship. All of those things go on in the house. But primarily, my house will be a house of prayer. And I think as we look at the place that prayer, that we've given prayer as churches, we know it's important, we have it there, but is it a primary, is it a primary place and so on? I believe that also that the true function and work of the Holy Spirit is going to be restored. Not some just seeking some kind of an emotion or feeling, but the true ministry and work of God's Holy Spirit, I believe, is going to somehow, God's going to restore that back into the church. I believe another thing that's going to be restored is the headship and the lordship of Jesus Christ in the hearts of their people, where the things we do, the decisions we make, come totally and completely under the lordship and the headship of Jesus Christ in the church. And I could go on and on. I think there's other elements too that need to be restored. Now I want to turn to Ezekiel chapter 34. I was going to go a totally, completely different direction for the message this morning. I've been preaching on the new covenant there in Trinidad. I've been so blessed just by looking again and seeing the heart of God in the whole aspect of covenant. And I thought I'd cover some of that, but I just want to say here to those that were at that meeting yesterday afternoon. I guess after that meeting, I just felt like God gave me another message. And for those of you that weren't there, Patrick Klein was there, and he talked to the youth. He talked to us about the whole issue of trafficking around the world, and even in America, even in our communities. And out of that, we just went into prayer. And we're praying for the traffic situation, that God would move and so on. And through that, there was a cry. And I believe it was the cry out of the heart of God. The cry of God started coming from some of the youth, and it just kind of spread through the group, just weeping. I heard repentance, and that's the thing that came up in my heart, just the whole aspect of how selfish, how self-centered we can get in our Christianity, in our living. And when you hear what's happening, 5-6-year-old girls being trafficked around the world and all of these horrible, horrific things that we don't even want to hear them. We don't want to wrap our minds around them. But through that, and I just want to tell you, youth, obviously there were some emotions that were expressed there, but I believe it was deeper than human emotion. I believe it was the heart of the Father, knowing, seeing all of this, being aware, knowing clearly what's happening to his creation in this day that we live, and the anguish that God must carry as he looks down and sees all of this evil and wickedness, this holy, pure, righteous God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ, and knowing that every one of these people, the perpetrators and the victims, that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for them, the love of God that must radiate out of his being toward that situation. I just felt to tell you that was more than human emotion. I believe there was a sense of the heart of God that was cried out of some of you and many of you. And I just want to bless you for that. This might seem like a very strange chapter here to read, but I want to read this chapter. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. For those of us here that are ordained men, I know how this chapter has affected me through the years. When I'd read this, I tell you, you can tremble. Sometimes you don't even want to read it because you're afraid you fit into this somehow. So I want to first of all say, let the word of God, let it speak to us that are ordained here this morning. But I just felt some time ago God laid on my heart that this is a message not only for the ordained, this is a message for his church in the last day. And I want to just connect that a little bit then. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with the wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. Neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And I'm gonna just kind of unpack this just a little bit. When I read this back, I don't know, 6 months ago or so, I felt like what God spoke to me was, I begin to see this is God's heart for broken humanity. This is God's heart for weak, struggling Christians, people that are, people that are have received him. This is God's heart. And I guess as I read this, I read it in the context of God is allowing me to see his heart. And would to God that, and again, I started with the church being restored. I believe that God wants to restore his own heart and passion and burden in the hearts of his people in the last days. And it, youth, this is something that God has spoken to you about this past week, different sessions in different ways. And I just, my prayer for you, and then for all of the churches that you represent, is that the heart of God, the heart of the Father, is something that is so, that so motivates you, that so stirs you, that you begin to see people, and we heard about that. Pat talked about that too on Friday evening. We see people how God sees them, and not just through the eyes that we have naturally. What you received, the blessings, the word, the truth, don't just get fat with the information that you received, but use that to feed the disease, to seek out, and so on, like he says here. Verse 5, they were scattered because there is no shepherd. They became meat to all of the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. And again, I'm going to look at some scriptures in the New Testament. But I want to just say what the burden that God gave on me, obviously this applies to us leaders. But I've seen it in a broader context. This is also to be the heart of the whole church. This is as a church, as people of God, we need to know what it is to have the very heart of God birthed in us to where it affects the way we live. It affects the way we see things. We need to be motivated with the passion that is burning in the heart of God. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. We don't want God to be against our churches. We need his blessing. We can't do it alone. We cannot function outside of the grace and the blessing of God. You want to have God's blessing in your churches? You want to take back the blessing of God in the churches that you're part of? Think about how sensitive he is to those that are hurting and underprivileged and broken and despised and many times just driven out, driven away. You know, as churches, we gravitate toward the strong. We do that in society. We gravitate. We want people in our churches that have it all together. It makes us look good as leaders. You know, man, we got these awesome youth with all of these potentials. But God sees the weak, and his heart is for the weak. obviously he's blessed with the strong. But when the church walks in the calling that God has for the church, the weak can become strong. The poor can become rich spiritually. That's the heart of the Father. I was thinking of, won't take time to turn to, but I was thinking of the prodigal son. The elder brother did everything perfect for the father, I think. One thing he missed was the father's heart. And as that elder son just served him faithfully and did everything right and just was right there with the father and so on, I don't think, maybe he never sensed how that father kept looking down the road to that one that had gone astray. How the father's heart was not just there. The father's heart was for that one that was he didn't know what was happening to him. He was, you know, he didn't know if he'd ever come back, maybe. I think the son never sensed how the father's heart wasn't just there. It was down the road somewhere. And I thought of that analogy. You know, how many times, you know, do we just think, you know, God's so, you know, he just is looking at us and we're trying to keep it all together and we're trying to be strong, we're trying to have good churches and all of that, and never, we can totally miss the heart of God. That somewhere his heart is bleeding for others. And church, we need to pick that up. We're called to pick that up and to walk in that. Verse 12, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among the sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in a cloudy and dark day. I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers and in the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture and upon the high mountains. This is the heart of God for his people. In the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be, and there shall they lie down in a good fold, in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. I will seek that which was lost. This is God saying the shepherds didn't, so I'm going to do this. And again, let God, by his Spirit, lay on us just his own heart, that this becomes part of what we are about as people. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with judgment. As for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture? But you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. Is there ways that we do that in church life? We just gobble up all the good spiritual things or whatever, and not even thinking about how can we pour out our hearts that others can be partake of this. As for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Therefore thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Because ye have thrust with your side, with your shoulder, and pushed all the disease with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall be no more a prey. And I will judge between cattle and cattle. I will set one shepherd over them, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the ministry we're called to bring people to Jesus Christ. And he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. I will make a covenant with them of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause showers to come down in due season. There shall be showers of blessings. Again, this is in the context of God restoring his people, bringing back his people, ministering life and healing and health and so on, spiritual health and prosperity to his people. There shall be showers of blessing. Do we want showers of blessing in our churches? Minister the heart of Jesus. Minister the heart of the Father to the hurting. And I believe there will be showers of blessing in the church. The tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. They shall be safe in their land. They shall know that I, the Lord, I am the Lord when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hands of those who have served themselves of them. They shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall safely dwell, or they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. And they shall... Thus shall they know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord, and ye my flock, the flock of my pastor, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. And again, this is in the context. He's talking to those that were despised, that were broken, that were not being ministered to by the shepherds. It's the heart of God for the weak. Those that have a hard time making it. And may that heart be given to us too in a further way. I want to go to Revelations now. Just look at a couple scriptures real quick. Revelations chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him that which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Part of what God has done through in the new covenant through the work of Jesus Christ is that he has made all of us kings and priests unto him. And so I have a scripture there, I won't read it there, in 1 Peter 2, where it brings it out, that we're kings and priests unto God. So there's a calling, I believe, on our churches to see. I told the church this in Trinidad. We need to see, as a church, we're called to shepherd as a body. Not just the leaders, not just those that are ordained, but as a church, we need to see our ministry as a shepherd that has the heart of the Father, that has the heart of the true shepherd, that seeks out, that searches out, that is drawn to those that are hurting and those that are desperate for help and so on. Again, instead of just being gravitated toward people that they just, you know, there's people that they get saved and they just take off like a rocket. They just seem to really get a hold of it, the faith and all of that. But not everyone's like that. And sometimes we push back the ones that just seem to have a hard time making it spiritually. And I just trust that all of our churches together, that God would restore the heart of the true shepherd, the heart of the Father. Brother Aaron's preached last night about the heart of the Father and the sons and so on. This is We can have that individually. We need to have it individually. But even as a church, as a whole body, sensing deeply and being moved deeply by the heart of our Father and His, especially in relation to how He sees the lost, how He sees the weak, how He sees the hurting, and that we are become ministers of His grace to them. I want to just say, I want to turn to Philippians chapter 1 now. I want to just kind of leave that. I had some more things there, but I want to touch a few other things. Our first calling is to be in, and we heard the youth, you heard this over and over. Our first calling is to be in a vital love relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's, I want to promote that a little bit, because sometimes we can overlook that aspect and just, I think someone else talked about this too in one of the sessions, that all we can think about is now what, I just need to do something. I need to do something. Our first calling is to have a vital love relationship with Jesus, with Christ, that that grows into a burning passion for Christ. If we don't have that personal connection, that personal passion for who Jesus is, then we're never going to understand, we're never going to truly be moved by the heart of the Father, the passion of Christ for the lost and for the hurting. So I want to just first bring that out in Philippians 1:21, we see this in Paul, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Very simple verse. Paul's passion was Christ. And again, that needs to be the passion of the church. And out of that passion, then Christ can be ministered, we can receive the heart of the Father. In chapter 3, verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. I think I'll stop there. And then Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So that was, you just see very clearly where all of the ministry of Paul's life came out of his passion for Jesus Christ. And it's going to be the same in your life personally. It's going to be the same in the church. We cannot reverse the order. That order has to be there. And I want to just read you a verse I love is Hebrews 1:3. And I want to share that, because who being the brightness of his glory. I want to read it in the Amplified. I just love the wording of this. He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being the outraying or radiance of the divine. So that's who you see of Jesus. Jesus was here to show the Father. And what you see of Jesus Christ, what you see of his life, you see that is who God is. That is who our Father is. He was the, what does it say here? He was the radiance of the divine. He was the outraying or the radiance of the divine. And he is the perfect imprint, it says, and the very image of God's nature. That's who Jesus Christ was. We as the body of Christ, this is what we should strive for. Are we Are we known as just as, or I shouldn't say just, but are we known as Anabaptists? What is our pursuit? We are the body of Christ, and Christ perfectly revealed the image of the Father. And I believe that that is, in a nutshell, the call on the Church of Jesus Christ, is that we, as the body of Christ, now that we are the perfect imprint of who Jesus was, and that is the imprint of who the Father was. Do you understand? Do you understand that? Our mission here, our call here, is to, if when people look at your life, when people look at our churches, do they go, "Wow, that's who Jesus is"? That's who, and because that's who Jesus is, that's the perfection of who God is. And to be honest, and I don't know some of your churches, so I can talk. I know our churches. Sometimes we get caught up in something totally different. And then the heart of the Father is looking down the road and just longing. Is there someone? Is there some way to bring that son back? Is there some way to minister to that hurting person that their life has been destroyed, sometimes by not any fault of their own? And we sit in our churches and are caught up with just being satisfied, not even thinking about, is this who, are we representing really, truly, in reality, who Jesus Christ is? Can we give Jesus an address on this earth that say, if you come to church Sunday morning, by the grace of God and by the moving of His Spirit, I believe whatever your need is, I believe somehow you could probably, we believe you could encounter Jesus Christ in our midst, in the church. If someone says, how do I find Jesus? If one of these trafficked girls that have been rescued with all of the trauma that has done to their lives, the destruction, not even knowing who they are anymore, hardly. If they could say, where can I find Jesus? How can I find Jesus? Would Jesus even accept me? I mean, would He even accept me if I found Him? Because of what my life has been, what I've been through. Do we have such a sense in our churches that we would say, yes, first of all, we would accept you because we have the heart of the Father. And we would do whatever it takes. We would walk with you. We would live with you. We would die with you if we need to. Because that's who Jesus is. By saying we're the church of Jesus Christ and the body of Jesus Christ, then we should be saying, if you come to our church, you will meet Jesus Christ. And I know we have, I'm sure every church here has a measure of that. And yet I just believe that somehow, I believe God is going to so move and work among His people for those that are seeking Him and want the fullness of what He has for His people in the last days. I believe God is going to even increase that abundantly. I believe that God wants to reveal. We heard, We heard through Pat just about a little bit, just privately. I think he told Dave about how, what did he say, like 70% of the Muslims are coming to Christ through dreams. Is God going to do that in America to the Muslims here when he has his body here? Why would he need to do that if his very body is living around these people? You know, I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to myself. Our deepest commitment must be to Christ, not the work, not success, not just to build good, solid congregation. Our deepest commitment must be to Jesus Christ. Our unwavering devotion, our supreme love, our life's burning passion must be Jesus Christ and Him alone. We must seek to not exalt a certain ideology or set of doctrines or whatever, as valuable as that is. But if that is somehow void of the reality of who Jesus Christ is in our churches, we have missed the heart of the Father. The passion of Christ is the highest passion that any of us could have. That's why God deals with us. Because as humans, we have other passions. We have other interests. And some of that isn't all wrong. But if that somehow goes against the passion, the potential of the passion that I could have in my heart for Jesus Christ and for Him alone, then that those other passions and interests and so on, they have to somehow be laid on the altar of Jesus Christ. We need to find the reality of the work of the cross that separates out of our life every other love, every other desire that hinders the desire and the passion for Jesus Christ. The knowledge we must pursue must be to know Him personally more and more, to please Him more and more, must be our longing. To glorify Him more and more must define our life's ambition. Just, God, I know You've used me in the past, but God, I want to glorify You even more and more. You are worthy, O God. You are worthy, O Jesus. Our passion for Christ as a person must be above and beyond our passion for His cause or His commitment or our commitment to His service. And I know that was touched, but I wanted to say that again here. Your passion for Christ must be above even the passion for His service or your commitment to His service and so on. But out of that passion, God brings the heart of the Father into you, and you begin to weep with what He weeps over. You begin to rejoice over what He rejoices over. And that's my heart for us as churches, as a whole. That's my heart for each one of you youth. We need the Spirit's help to enable us to love with the passion Jesus desires. Jesus' response to such love is John 14:21, I will show myself unto him. Appreciated again what John shared. The pure in heart will see God. Jesus' response to such a passion and love is his promise is, I will show myself unto him. You will begin to know what it is to have my heart. and who I am and what, where I'm, you know, where, who I want to reach out to and so on. A.W. Tozer said, "The great of the kingdom have been those who love God more than others did." It's very simple. If you want to be great in his kingdom, love him more than. If we would all pursue that, if we would all just try to love him more than that brother next to me, I see that he is just loving God. He's so in love with God. And we were just like, that should just stir us and say, you know what? I'm not going to miss out on this. I'm going to pursue love for God too. And if we would do that, I don't know. I don't think there'd be a lot of fighting and bickering and fussing about things in church. I think the reality of who Jesus is would just start just blooming like a flower, and the aroma of that when people come in our midst are like, wow, if there's a good smelling flower, you can just like, wow, there must be a flower here somewhere. I smell something. All other passions grow and flow from our passion for Christ. A passion for souls grows out of a passion for Christ. Hudson Taylor said, "The greatest incentive to missionary work is simply the love of Christ." A true passion for Christ grows into a passion for souls. Paul said the love of Christ constrains us. I have these scriptures, won't go there, it's already 12. This was Paul's ministry in a nutshell, that the love of Christ constrained him to reach out and so on. We could read those scriptures, I know you're familiar with them. Are we moved by the heart of Christ is my question. For the weak, for the struggling, for the unsaved who are blindly headed, especially the unsaved who are headed to an eternity forever separated from the love of God, the presence of Christ, with all hope of change forever gone. That is going to be a reality someday to multitudes. You, dear people, had such a blessed opportunity to come together, and this is still the day of salvation. This is a day of grace. And things that God convicted you of, you were able to change. God was talking to you about being changed, and he's changing you. But someday, there's people that, however they are, they're going to go into eternity that way, and there will be no opportunity forever and ever to ever change. It says in Revelation, "He that is filthy, let him be filthy still." The day of grace is cut off. The day of salvation is over. He that is righteous. In other words, the thought there, I didn't even think of this when I was putting this message together. The thought there is, he that is filthy will perpetually be filthy, or will perpetuate filth forever and ever. He that is righteous will perpetuate righteousness forever and ever. The heart of Christ for the lost is not only for the evangelists, for the church ministers. This needs to be the heart of the church, the heart of all God's people. We may have different roles in this pursuit, but we can all share the burden and the heart of Christ. And that's my prayer for you this morning, for all of you churches here. May God grant us that. I want to just close with this, and let's stand. I'm sure you're ready to stretch again. Andrew Murray said, this was one of Andrew Murray's prayers, and I was just so touched by this prayer. And I just, as we stand here this morning, as the Spirit of God speaks to you and so on, maybe in your own words, but make this your prayer. Andrew Murray said, "Oh, our God, we stand amazed and abased at the sloth and neglect of thy church and not fulfilling her divine commission. We are humbled at our slowness of heart to perceive and believe what thy Son did promise, to obey his will and to finish his work. We cry unto thee, O God, visit thy church." And I love this. I don't know if I ever heard this quite like this. "And let thy Spirit, the Spirit of the divine sending forth, fill all her children." That's what the Holy Spirit of God wants to do in his church in these days. Not just to give some kind of an emotional experience, but when the Spirit of God begins to move, and you can see this, we talked about it even this past week, and in all of the revivals, basically, there was, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, when the church was revived, there was a divine sending forth that came out of that. And as you youth go back to your churches, go back seeking that the heart of the Father can be fulfilled through your life. And that, God, so fill me with your Spirit that your Spirit, there would be a divine sending forth happens in your life, whether it's to your neighbor, to one of your youth in the church that may need encouragement, love, someone to walk side of him, like Arlen needed when he was barely making the journey there. That's what the Spirit of God wants to do in our life. He wants to come on us in such a way that there's a divine sending forth. And again, that will come as we give our life to have a passion for who Jesus Christ is and to know him as a person, not just to know his theology and his doctrines, but to know him intimately as a person. So I just want to open this time, and then you can be seated after the prayer. And let's pray that. We cry to thee, O God. Visit thy church. And let thy Spirit, the Spirit of the divine sending forth, fill all her children. Hallelujah, Father. We just cry that. Lord, I cry that from my heart, Lord. Father, for us this morning, for my life, for our church there in Trinidad. Father, for the churches of each one that are represented here, Father. Lord, visit us. Visit us, Father. Father, till the passion in our heart is the passion in your heart, Lord. Lord, till the Holy Spirit comes in such a powerful way, Lord, that he sends us forth, Lord. As new creation, as people, Father, that see the hurting, that have the ministry of Jesus just oozing out of us, Lord, because we're so passionate about Jesus Christ. Lord, bless these youth, Lord, with a divine sending forth, Father, in the name of Jesus, as they go back, Father, as they go home. Lord, bless our churches, Father. Bless every church, Father, that had youth here, Father, with just a greater reality of who God is, of what your heart is, of who what you want to do in these last days, Father. And Lord, I pray that our churches would be churches that don't make it difficult to the weak, but can come alongside the weak and help them become strong. By pointing them to Jesus Christ, by walking with them, by laying down our life, by giving up our time, by giving up our times of pleasure, Father, for the ministry of your kingdom, Lord. Just continue to have your way in our midst, in Jesus' name. Amen.